All right, I'll call this meeting to order. I'd first announce that the setting of machines in the basement of the courthouse will be September 26th. Probably an all-day event.
Mark, can I say something before y'all start?
Sure.
I haven't been able to find the agenda that was posted for this meeting. And there's also a notice of the meeting on the building. I just want to read two things from the Kentucky Open Meetings Law. This is KRS 61.823, Section 3. The public agency must provide written notice of the special meetings consisting of the date, time, place of the special meeting, and the agenda. Discussion and actions at the meeting must be limited to the items on the agenda. And then from Section 4, Paragraph C, as soon as possible, written notice must also be placed in a conspicuous place in the building where the meeting will take place, and in a conspicuous place in the building where the agency has its headquarters. Notice must be posted at least 24 hours before the special meeting. I haven't been able to find an agenda that was posted, and I'm concerned that if this is an illegal meeting and you take action, that then fiscal court needs to act on and puts fiscal court in an awkward position.
Well, we only had one item that we could act on, and so we won't act on anything.
There were members of the public who might, I know this is a good attendance, this is awesome, and I do respect what the Board of Election does. Y'all do heavy lifting for the community, especially now. But there might be people who wanted to be here if they know what was on the agenda, and it's never made public. That's all I have.
Well, the only item that is actually on the agenda is moving Oak Grove Precinct, Bauer Hall, to, I think they call it the Community Center, but it's more centrally located. And that's it. The rest of this is just discussion. So I'll, very first page of our handout shows where our machine, our voting centers, that's the new term, voting centers, are proposed to be. And so since the last election, we've added Indian Hills, Concord Baptist, New Barron, New Palestine, and Walnut Street, which is Boys and Girls Club. These maps kind of show that everywhere in the city of Hopkinsville, you're within 3 miles max of the voting center. And in the county, almost every location is within 5 miles. And I've got a little old map over here showing 1878, where my great-grandparents would have to have gotten in a wagon or a mule to go vote. So we've come a long way. Any discussion from the board?
Nobody will say anything. I just still propose to go back to pre-pandemic. That's what people are telling me they want. I know there's a lot of hoops and hurdles, but that's what I'm hearing. I wish what the voters want.
Well, the good thing about voting centers that you can simply go there and vote.
I understand that,
no
too.
No matter where you're from, if you work in town, you don't have to go back to Crawford. You just vote at the closest voting center. It's the future. They're also proposing that we have a sheriff or police officer at every location. That's not on out there in the world. So I think fewer locations is the future. And I know people don't like change. Jim, would you explain what happened in Lacey with the building?
Well, that was at Fruit Hill. I will have to do that Fruit Hill at the Judge's Chapel. I've been over here longer than anybody involved in the clerk. I did propose that at that time we were Judge's Chapel in a concrete block building they used to store the mowers in there with no heat and no air. And we moved to Fruit Hill that next year. We didn't want to move. And then they did come back the next week. Why didn't we move there earlier? So that was the only thing that can understand change too.
Yes, that's when we had the big lever machines.
Right.
So it went from
We've been other places like that too. Palestine Church out there, we were in their lawnmower shed and we got inside their building and things like that.
So we got into air conditioning, heating, refrigerator, bathrooms.
It just seems to me, I will tell you, I understand what you're saying, Senators, just like people in your own neighborhood, Burke, that I know did not go vote because they were not driving out to the Bruce Center. It's just, they're getting older and they're just didn't go because they didn't go out there. Because they used to be going to the Southside Church of Christ. I heard more from that, probably more complaints from your own area than anyone.
Well, we did a very poor job. Ain't that ever happened?
It was none. I mean, we're just not getting the point out. That's why I think, I still stick with my gun.
Did we decide whether we wanted to possibly send out postcards to all the registered voters in the county about all the voting locations?
We've got a quote. It's very reasonable. I think it's like $20,000. And we wouldn't send a postcard to everyone. We would only send
just the registered voters, right?
Yeah. I mean, definitely with your Oak Grove, we talked about it. That's the question I had. We're in discussion. Oak Grove, I thought we were already at the center. We'd already approved it if you look at our records. And I don't know where, and I asked the last time why we were not at the community center, because I've been advocate for the senior citizen and voted for it if you look at the records. We were at the center. I didn't know that we went to Valor Hall. And the people at Oak Grove told me they didn't know it because they were uproar out and into Valor Hall again. So I don't know why. If we need to check the records, our deal was to be at the community center all along. Why we would even need a motion? I don't know how that occurred.
Had something to do with the COVID.
Don't know, but I just know that Oak Grove, everybody from Oak Grove here today.
They don't represent you here.
Am I right about that? Oak Grove Community Center has been available all the time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was there a COVID problem?
No, sir.
If we need to make a motion, I would make a motion.
We've already made the motion. We've already approved it. And
we approved it to go back? Or you're talking that was discussion?
I don't know.
Going to check the records.
It's my understanding that anything that we decide here is illegal.
So we'll do that at our next meeting?
Yeah, if we have to.
Yeah. It'll be a discussion. Discussion only today.
Yeah. But I'm sure there will be objection, and this is by the request of the citizens of Oak Grove.
Judge White Sweet.
I have a question.
Yes.
I haven't seen the agenda, as you said. Are people allowed to speak here today at this meeting?
Certainly.
When does that start?
Are we live? Is this not the meeting right now?
No, it's not.
Oh, you didn't want it on. I asked him, he said he didn't want it on.
What?
I got to ask him. It's his meeting.
Yeah.
I just didn't make a message.
I think it is because we can't make it really work.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, turn it on.
All right, Shannon, can you take care of that, please?
I've got a question to what Ms. Brown asked earlier. She stated the KRS law and maybe a recommendation. There's been numerous meetings that haven't been made public. And the question is who whose job is it to make those meetings public and post that so the community knows? And if we don't know whose job it is, maybe a good piece of discussion today would be able to figure out whose job that is to post it, so you don't run into, really, you're here to do nothing but talk. Because if you go by what Ms. Brown said, which I do believe is right, you can't take any action on anything. So I would recommend somebody having a discussion about going forward, whose job is it to notify the community that you're having these meetings, where are you going to post it at, and how are you going to get that information out to the citizens?
We post it on Facebook.
I don't have Facebook. And a lot of other folks don't either.
And we do have a standard meeting the third Thursday at 10 o'clock.
And Ms. Brown she might be able to tell you that Facebook is the proper method of posting it, and I would venture to say it's probably not. I don't know.
I don't see Facebook mentioned in the law. I think Facebook is
helpful
a lot of people, but it's not everybody.
And who is primarily responsible? And maybe you don't know, and if you don't, that's fine, but somebody needs to have a discussion about who's responsible for doing that.
Well, it's our responsibility to hold it. The buck stops here. All right, we'll open this up for discussion, I guess.
I would say if anybody wants to speak, they should go to the microphone so people can hear them out there. If somebody happens to be watching on Facebook Live, nobody knew that. They may not be tuned in. I don't know. It could be. So I would suggest going to the microphone.
State your name.
My name is Nikki Chambers. It was my intent to speak at the regular meeting scheduled for next week. And at that time, all of this conspired in between it. So I was going to say I see the pros and cons for both precincts and centers. But if centers will be used, possibly think about an additional center to be added somewhere near the East Side neighborhood. Number two, the Oak Grove Community Center to be used instead of Ballard Hall, but you addressed that today. And postcards to be sent to each registered voter with the voting locations. And lastly, no matter what is decided, the decision needs to be made quickly in order to get the information out to the voters of Christian County. Thank you.
Do you have a suggestion on the East Side?
I do not. I kind of looked at the precincts from before, and there was nothing on the East Side in the last 34 precincts that were listed. But maybe Melinda or somebody can look to see if something's already been approved on the East Side neighborhood.
All right.
Okay, I'm Steve Tribble. Of course, I'm the Christian County Judge Executive, and I'm here speaking on behalf of Fiscal Court. Mr. Kim, you were in our last meeting, so you saw what we talked about for about 30 to 45 minutes. And the court, basically, I think I'm correct in saying that they voted unanimously that they'd like to see us go back to the 31 precincts that we had before the pandemic. They did say if that couldn't be done, they'd like to see a whole lot more than 13 of these voting centers. And so I'm here to say that. Some of them are here, they may want to say it themselves, but that's what the fiscal court preferred. And as far as a suggestion for the East Side, I'll give you about three. You can take your choice. First Street Baptist Church, Cedar Grove Baptist Church, or the old Booker T. School. I think they're all handicap accessible. They all have air conditioning. They all have electricity. So take your pick.
My name is Mark Graham, live here in Hopkinsville. Wasn't going to speak this morning, but I'm a little bit confused because I watched the fiscal court meeting from Tuesday, and I thought the discussion was to have that, and I'm really confused why that wasn't on the agenda for today, when there was plenty enough notice to put that vote to increase to the 31 locations. You know, I dealt with the last election because I lost, and that's fine. But there are some things done during that election that official misconduct. The voting center, they were giving out wrong ballots. It was a total disaster. And you're to blame for it. That's all I got.
Again, I'll say the buck stops here.
I'm George Barnett. Most of y'all may know me. Got a little thing to read here from the Christian County Republican Party. In the 2020 general election, you know, there were only 7 voting locations, and we had the most votes cast in Christian County history. In 2020 May primary, the only one voting location, we had 9,031 votes cast. If you compare that to the 2016 votes, you know, in the traditional precinct voting, the new form of voting generated a lot more votes. You know, the narrative that voters are being suppressed because we're not using the precinct system is just not true. What happened in our May primary to cause such a lot of the chaos and mistrust in our elections, and how do we go forward from here? There's 2 things we need to change. The first thing we want to do is ask that Ms. Melinda Humphreys, the election coordinator for the last 20 years, be reinstated to her position. The reason she was moved from the election coordinator was that it would give an unfair advantage to her opponent. You know, this unjustly thrust the duties of her work into the our staff, which were unprepared and did not do as good a job as Melinda would do if she was placed back in charge. The citizens deserve a fair and transparent election. We request her people back in charge. The second thing, again, is the conduct of clerk and our Democratic judge executive, Jim Gardner. Those deceitful and unethical actions on that election day broke the several rules of protocol set forth by the KRS, which everybody's talked about before, and the election board has lost the confidence of the Christian County voters. The Republican Party would like to request removal of Judge Jim Gardner and get somebody in with a little bit more ethical standards. Thank you.
Melinda is expected to do everything that she did before except be the face of Christian County clerks. And that includes signage on buildings, a lot of the things that she stepped down from doing that she didn't have to do. But there was some miscommunication. I apologize.
I think it's best if I address this audience. For one, I've been doing this for 20 plus years. I have over 30 elections that I've been coordinating. I do take offense to the fact that people want to blame this office for what happened. Unfortunately, I was not able to fulfill all of my duties as election coordinator, but the staff took on a great deal of responsibility, not to mention their own jobs that they do every day. Every election, you learn something. Everyone. Not one election is ever the same. You take what you learn and you apply it to the next. There's no argument, not one argument in here, that the November 2020 election was a success. Is anybody going to argue with that? We had 7 locations. We had COVID. We were under a great deal of stress. Not just this office, the community. But what did they do? They voted. Nothing stopped them from voting because they wanted to vote. We increased from 7 to 8. And now we're increasing from 8 to 13. Voting centers, as Mike stated, they are the future. When you showed up prior to COVID. You had to vote within your precinct, correct? What do you think happened when people showed up and they were in the wrong precinct? They left. Do you think that one of the other ones, they go to where they were told to go? Half the time, no. What happened when a machine broke down at the polling location? Voting stopped until a tech was sent out to fix that equipment. Voting centers allow voters to go to the closest location, whether it's home, whether it's work, and cast their ballot. If a voting machine breaks down, there are multiple machines, the requirement to have at least two. Voting doesn't stop. I understand that people do not like change. I get that. I've been dealing with it. But we have to do what's best and make voting accessible as much as possible. And let me also include this. You can request a ballot by mail. You have 6 days of in-house voting that if you have to have a reason, you can actually go ahead and vote 6 days prior to early. There are 3 days of early voting. And also there is, of course, voting centers where you can go to the closest location. I want you all to know that there are layers to an election. Raise your hand if you've ever worked as an election officer, please. You have a great deal of understanding of exactly what goes on pre-election, post-election, and election day. So for anyone else to criticize this staff and this election, be an election officer, one, or come and help us, too. We would welcome the help. But no one's done that. No one's offered anything. So before you go and you start making decisions on things that you've not even been a part of, how about learn? How about ask questions? How about educate yourself? How about help us educate the voters? That's key. It's about the people. It's not about here. It's about them. Give them all the opportunities that they can to cast their ballot. Don't take that away from them. Does anybody have any questions for me? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jack, would you tell us why you like voting centers?
Because it's a lot easier than standing in line at precincts. In my experience, it's been a long, some people were in line for 20, 30 minutes. I walked into the Bruce Center and walked out within 5 minutes and it was crowded. Very, very convenient. And I like the redundancy of having machines. If one breaks down, you have another one. Plus the fact that we go back to 41 precincts, where are you going to find the people who do it? Yeah. I mean, we had a hard time the last time there were 41 precincts finding people to man the precincts. So logistically, I think it makes a lot of sense the way we're doing it, the way we did it in 2020. And the turnout was better than we ever had.
Being fair to Jack, I did not ask him to make a comment. That was all I had to live.
Good morning, I'm Rachel McCubbin, and I just want to address the fiscal responsibility of the smaller number of voting centers versus the larger number of precinct voting locations. I've worked alongside Melinda for many, many years trying to help recruit people, and it's a challenge to have four election officials at each voting machine. And then I see that there's a proposal to now raise the pay for those workers to $300 a day. Trust me, it's a huge job, and I understand that, but the fiscal responsibility question comes to mind. And I, like Jack, experienced a fantastic experience going to Bruce Center to vote. I was planning to, take something to read and, have to bide my time, but to vote, it went smoothly. So I really support this smaller voting center concept. It kind of reminds me, I was joking with Jerry recently, that it kind of reminds me of when churches make changes and everybody's like, oh, we've always done it this way. Well, we do want to be a part of the future, and I think that, Mike, the move towards the voting centers that you mentioned earlier does make a lot of sense for the future from a fiscal responsibility standpoint. So just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
morning. My name is Bianca Crockham, and I am a candidate for District 9. I believe that we should have more polling places for constituents. There are so many of our residents, especially in the minority community, that walk to the polls. They can't drive to Valor Hall out to the Bruce because they don't have transportation. And so because some of the things that Ms. Humphrey said that they could do prior to the election, some of them you have to have a reason in order for you to vote early. So you're making a group of our citizens unable to do what they should be able to do, the right to vote, to be able to go there. I know change has to happen, but we can slowly make that change happen.
Boys and Girls Club, that helps, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. But there has to be more than just the Boys and Girls Club.
I thought those eastern areas that the judge mentioned.
Yes, but if you're adding more, then you would be able to have more on the other side as well. Yes?
David is a I'd like to thank David for drawing these maps. And what we've got is a 5-mile radius for all the county locations and a 3-mile radius for all the city locations. And I don't know, I don't think 3 miles is, which is max, but most of them are less than 3 miles. But we are considering, I'm going to consider the judge's recommendation on the east side. David, as a poll worker for 20 years, do you have a comment to make?
Well, let me make it clear. I'm not part of the election board, and I'm not an advocate for fiscal court either. I did make the maps. Do have the capability to provide GIS services for the county. As a poll worker, having worked the polls many, many years, not only at the Bruce Convention Center, but also an outlying precinct. A comment was made in the last FIP report that the poll workers only get 1 hour of training. Most of the poll workers that I've experienced working with have numerous years of experience working. It's not something they just go and they say, I'm going to get a quick check. They look at it as a civic duty to provide a day of their time to go and work when nobody else wants to work. And they spend anywhere from 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 or 8 o'clock at night working. Sometimes they even stay later to wait for the clerk to accept all the materials from the polls and close down the polls. So I have no say-so in whether it should be more or less. But what I've seen so far from the consolidated voting locations we did during COVID, it makes it very easy for a voter to get there to a centralized location. They aren't turned away because of they had the wrong credentials or their ID card wasn't an appropriate address on it. So in my mind, I saw a lot of people were very happy to work a poll in a central location, but also the comments from the voters, they were very happy to go to one location. They didn't have to wait a certain day, a certain time, and go to those polls. Like I said, I'm not an advocate of either or. I'm just saying from the experience of a poll worker, having done it so long, that the consolidated polls are, you know, saves taxpayer dollars. Going from 13 to, or from 30 to 13, it's quite a break in tax dollar expense. The number of poll workers has always been a problem. Always been a problem trying to get people who would dedicate their time to go and work a poll. And those are going to be difficult, more and more difficult, as if we go back to the 30 positions. So, and that's all I have to say. Like, again, I don't represent either view, whether it be for the election board or fiscal court or the citizens. Okay, so that decision is made by this body and also fiscal court.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Jim Fleming, 114 Moreland Drive, Hopkinsville, Kentucky. I have voted every chance, whenever I could vote, if I knew where to go to vote. You know, my personal feeling is we did not get the information out to the numbers of people that's in this large county. When you're talking about the Apex area, or the Mannington area, or Bryn Mawr, those folks probably didn't know where to go. I can remember we used to get a card in mail that would tell us where to go vote. Now, it's well and good to have the centers. I'm not against that. But I think we need to make sure that we get something to the people out in the far edges of the county in order to let them know where to go vote at. In my times, I have voted at First Christian Church. I have voted at Penrod. Now I'm at St. John's. But I would not know that if I hadn't got some information to me where to go to. So let's get some information out. Thank you, Mr. Burke.
Yes,
thank
sir. You. As far as North Christian is concerned, we've added Concord, New Bern, Springs, and New Palestine. So we've added those. And in the city, we've added Indian Hills and the Girls and Boys Club. So we call Walnut Street. And we are going to consider other locations, particularly in eastern Hopkins.
Can I come back?
Sure.
Okay, so my question then would be, how do we get to you guys, if any of these magistrates who wanted all of the locations open, if they want more locations than 13, I'm speaking for all of them, not me, how would they go about letting you all know where they thought those should be to make it easier for people to vote? I didn't say that a while ago. That's what this is all about, making everybody have as easy as possible opportunity to vote. And so, who would we tell that? I mean, it sounds like y'all are going to stay with these centers. I mean, I can read the tea leaves, so how can we get more than 13? And who, how does that happen?
Jeff,
or can it happen?
What do you mean by make it easier?
I mean, people who are old, people who are poor, people who don't, everybody doesn't have a car. They can't go to the Bruce Center or even the Boys and Girls Club. If they live over on First Street, that's why I suggested, you know, gave you three options for something over on the east side. I'm just saying this fiscal court at our last meeting had a 45-minute discussion about this. It's my understanding that they wanted to make it easier for people to vote. And so I just say the more places you have where people don't have to go very far, particularly if they don't have a car, that'd be better. Even if they're voting centers, it would be better if you had as many as you could. Just my opinion. I'm just one guy, but I think I'm speaking for the fiscal court. Again, they can come up and speak if they want to.
And I think you said you were willing to fund it too, correct?
Excuse me?
I do think y'all said you were willing to fund it.
Yes, sir. We want to be financially responsible. Rachel, I hear what you're saying. And, but you know, there's compromise in every situation. So how do we compromise? That's what I'm asking you. I don't know how to do that.
I've got a map here.
Well, do you step up here and say today what you'd like to see? Is it going to be another meeting? Do we just call you, or do we text you? How does that work? I'm just asking a question.
When I first started here, I've been here 20 years. When I first started here, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party each, had people that would go out and pick people up and take them to the voting location. Why did y'all stop that?
They
didn't
know.
Every time people call us, we have no phone number to give them. We have to reach the Republican Party or the Democrat Party.
PACs helped us.
I don't know about that, but if anybody wants to ride, if they'll call me, I'll get them there.
Good morning. I'm Melissa Lynch from Oak Grove, Kentucky, the second largest city in Christian County. I'm gonna say that till it takes. I find it awful strange. You know, since I've been director at the community center, all year long I'm saying register to vote, register to vote, register to vote, register to vote. Now registration has gone up a little bit. Not saying significant, but it has to take. I find it strange that we can have two magistrates in 10 miles radius, but can't have two polling centers, sites, whatever you want to call them, in Oak Grove. The community center where I'm responsible for sits in the middle of the city. Valor Hall, no pun against it, love Tracy Cunningham and Valor Hall, sits at the edge of the city. When I first took over the community center, there was maybe 100 people coming into the community center a month. Now there's 3,000 to 4,000 people a month coming into the community center. There's more programs at the community center. People come to the community center to get information. They come to where do we register vote, who's running. We have debates there. Some of y'all have been down to the debates. We have meet and greets there. We don't just include Oak Grove in our meet and greets. We include Hopkinsville. But Hopkinsville have a hard time including Oak Grove into their stuff. So what I'm saying to you today is, if we're not going to have the center, community center, as a voting center, poll, whatever you want to call it, if we're not going to have it, at least reach out to the hard-working people and let them know where they can go and vote. That's only fair to Oak Grove. We don't have that many people down there, but we have enough people to make a difference on who get elected into some of these positions of the people who want to go vote. Everybody talking about vote ain't voting anyway. So we're not even talking about those people. But at least give them a fair chance of being able to walk to the community center. Somebody can three or four carpool together to get there. We have a lot of elderly people. We have roughly to the left of the community center, probably one of the biggest housing areas, and to the right of the community center is all the housing areas. We have two magistrates, one place to vote at the end of town that you cannot even walk to. No but public transportation. And I think that if you're not going to make it a polling center, whatever you want to call it now, if you're not going to do that, at least send something out and tell the people where they can go and vote. That's only fair. Thank you.
I think we've already decided on the community center.
Just so everybody knows, a lot of you keep bringing it up, we need to get the word out. We need to get the word out. I've heard that several times this morning. The fact is, we've already voted and agreed that we're going to correct that. But so, just to ease everybody's mind, it's done. We've already decided we are going to get the word out to everybody, whether it's postcards to all the registered voters. So I appreciate everybody bringing that to our attention, but we're beating a dead horse. It's taken care of. We're going to fix that issue. We are adding voting locations. We've added several, and we can add more. We will add more. Now, what I'm about to say is probably not going to be very popular, but fact is, we can only do so much. We can have a voting location every half a mile. But But people are still going to complain. At some point, the voters have to take responsibility. I understand they went to voting locations and nobody was there, but you know what we did? We put a sign up there that said, this is where you can go vote. They chose to go back home instead of going to another voting location. We can't control that. We cannot stop that. At some point, the voters have to take responsibility for their actions. We have public transportation. If the fiscal court wants to, they can take, I don't know if they can use school buses to put in and make bus stops throughout the county. And tell everybody, if you need a ride to the voting location, the buses will be at this location throughout the day. There's tons of stuff that we can do as a community. There's only so much that we can do as a board. We will make and accommodate as many voting locations as we can. We will do everything that we can. But we're not the only ones that have to make this work. It's going to take all of us.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, my name is Paula Turner. Some people know me, some people don't. I like the centers. We had a choice to go wherever we wanted to. One of the times we voted, we went to the Sheriff's Department. Another time we voted, we went to the Bruce Center. A lot of people I've talked to that don't want to talk to you people liked the way it was this last time. And the community centers or voting centers, whatever you want to say. I've got some other things I want to say too. I want Melinda to be able to do her job fully. She has been wonderful all these years. And for it to be said that it would interfere with the other person that's running for the office is ridiculous. This is her job. She needs to do it fully. Gardner, that's another thing. He needs to be gone. Whether he wants to do it himself, he should, because he should be ashamed of himself. I live in District 4. Daryl Gustafson was my magistrate. And it's been said that his people did not know where to go vote. That was not true. Just on his door knocker alone, it had all the places on there. Daryl lost, mainly because he voted the way he wanted to and not because of his constituents and how they wanted to vote. People put people in office to keep them informed of what's going on, and they don't do that. So if people are going to do that, they're eventually going to lose that position. So I like the voting centers. And another thing, people do what they want to do most. They go to the grocery store. They go to the movies. They can go wherever they want to any other time. But then they want to complain about, oh, they can't get to the voting center. That's not true, because I'm sure they know plenty of people that can pick them up and take them. Just like Steve Tribble said, he would take them. There's a lot of people. We've taken people to the polling places. There are other ways to vote. Now, I will say on the mail-in, or calling to get a ballot, years ago, my son was in college. He sent for one of those in plenty of time. He never got it until after the fact. So I wasn't happy with that at all, neither was he. So he didn't get to vote that year. So if they're going to do that, they need to do it in the proper way and to make sure they get those to people, whether they're elderly, college students, or whatever. So once again, we've been happy with that, and they really need to start listening to people and also getting the word out. People don't know that meetings are going on, and it's ridiculous. There's a lot of people, my parents, don't have Facebook. They don't get the newspaper, which it's sad too anymore. But there needs to be a way. And yes, you said it falls on you. It does fall on you. You're not doing your job. Appreciate it.
Brandon Garner, the Edwards Mill Road. Melinda, I want to say this. Over the past, I think you said 20 years, I don't think, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think there's an argument. You've done a phenomenal job of handling the elections. my opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. I'm not running for office either like Mr. Fleming's not. I think, Melinda, you've been put in a bad position by your leader. Mr. Barnett, since you think it's okay for somebody running an election to run the elections, where's Mr. Counselor and let's appoint him to do it? I don't think in good faith, Mr. Barnett, you can come up here and say that somebody running for election should be handling the elections in the community. I mean, let's use some common sense here. And again, Melinda has done a fine job. And there's a lot of knowledge and a lot of know-how that no one else here has. And in my opinion, Melinda's been put in a negative situation from a perspective that the leader of the county clerk's office hasn't done anything to transfer that knowledge. I own businesses in the community and run businesses in the community, and if I get killed in a car wreck on Weber Street today, I got people who can step right in and continue that. And I don't think there's an argument that Melinda hasn't done her job in the past and that she can't continue to do her job, but there's a thing called conflict of interest. And I think that has to be addressed, and I don't think it's fair that she has to address it. I think, Mr. Kim, you need to address it. And, Mr. Kim, if you can't do that, and you can't represent the constituents in the community, maybe you got to step aside and let whoever, Judge Shribble or the governor or whoever, can appoint somebody to do your duty, because I don't think it's fair to her. And I know it isn't fair to her opponent. And maybe somebody in here running for office will stand up here and say that they want their opponent to run the elections. But boy, I tell you, I don't think anybody's going to do that.
I'm going to try to be as nice as I can. I've worked with Melinda for 20 years, right beside her. I know how to do my job. And for you to insinuate that I don't, it's very offensive.
I think you misheard what I said. I didn't insinuate you didn't know how to do your job. I insinuate
that you
all do it.
Can you let me speak, please? I let you speak. Can you let me speak?
I can.
Thank you. It wasn't just Mike's decision to not have Melinda in the election office. It was Walter's, too. Because it gave her an upper hand. Melinda's just doing her job. That's what she was hired to do. That's it. It's not like she's out here politicking on county time. She's not. She has nothing to do with the ballots. We handle that. She has nothing to do with the machines. We handle those. But teaching a class is not giving her an upper hand on nothing. It's doing her job. That's it. You're telling me that you're putting all of it on two people. We were here till 10, 11 o'clock at night in May. I didn't see the magistrates here helping us. None of you. I've never had you all ask a question about how this election is run. But you want to sit in judgment of our office and mine? You basically bullied him into doing this. And that's not fair to him either. I love my job. But when you have three people in an office running an election that know how to do it and you take one away, you're hindering our office.
That was my point. There should be people to step in.
No.
I think you clearly heard
me
say, and Melinda
we
clearly
did
heard
step
me say,
in.
That she has been put in an unfair advantage.
I would like to comment on what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that I don't think Melinda's been taken out of elections, and I am speaking as her opponent. I'm Walter Cummings. I'm running for county clerk in November, November 8th. But I don't think she's been taken out of elections. She and Mike and I met, okay? And My concern was her being the face of the election.
She's not.
Oh, Melinda, come on, Jim. Okay.
Come on, Melinda. Everybody out here knows that she's the election coordinator. That's not going to change.
Okay. If you'll let me finish, okay? The idea was that she wouldn't be the face of elections, representing the county clerk's office out in public events. That's what we were talking about. Her working in the election office, yeah, I think she has to, obviously. There's three people.
You didn't even want her to say her name on the phone when she answers it.
Justin?
When I first started, we had to say our name. Christian County Clerk's Office, this is Jennifer. How can I help you?
We just wanted to prevent any unfair advantage.
How is her name unfair?
Going and presenting to different civic organizations would be an unfair advantage.
I said, how is answering the phone with her name unfair?
Well,
everybody already knows she works there.
This before meeting is going to start in 5 minutes. I think we'll take a recess. Or I'll call it a meeting. Adjourned.